Get up weekday morning with Hamish and Paris. But if you missed something, catch up at hits.com.au.
A high school friend of mine gave up using forks for a few months.
I don't
right?
get that.
And yep. I know that that's not your everyday thing to do, but it did get me thinking about things you give up by choice. So you're not allergic to them.
Yep.
No one's forcing you. You don't have to do it. You just reckon your life is better without it.
Just wanted to give it a crack.
Yeah, we want to hear what you've given up.
Nikki is on the line. Nikki, what did you give up?
I gave up soft drinks.
Soft drink.
I found that I was very addicted to it, and I would even wake up in the morning and the first thing I would do is have a swig of Coke.
Nikki, I will say this feels like a bit of a personal attack because I've got a giant soft drink in front of me right now. Do you feel healthier for it?
I do. I felt my energy levels go straight up. It's been about 3.5 years now that I haven't had a soft drink.
Not even touch one. What about a mixer with something else?
No, nothing. Trust me, there are days when I walk into a supermarket or a, you know, corner shop and see the big lines of fridges with the soft drink and my body just goes, give me one. But I'm just like, no, I'm stronger than this and I'm not going to do it.
Oh, your body and your teeth would be thanking you for it every single day. But how much were you drinking on a daily basis?
Oh, it was a lot. Like, I was pretty much replacing any fluids with soft drink. And it was mainly Coke.
Oh, far out.
Yeah.
Wow.
And it was
yeah.
to the point where I'd even swig like warm soft drink in the morning because it was, you know, next to the bed. And
okay, that's taking it to the next level. This yeah. might be a next level question and probably not appropriate, but did you find yourself being exceptionally gassy?
No.
Really?
I wasn't actually.
You probably
no.
built up a bit of an immunity to it because you were drinking soft drinks so much. And do you know what? I can relate to some of the things you just said on a scary level.
Yeah. It's pretty scary how addicted you can get to some things.
Nikki, thanks for the call.
Okay, thanks, guys. Bye.
Bacon Fest is coming up in Kingaroy at the end of this week, 24th to the 26th. Part of Bacon Fest is their Kevin Bacon Film Festival, which is a bunch of fun. And we have said to the organisers, well, we are going to try and get Kevin Bacon on this show in six phone calls. It's our play on an old game called The 6 Degrees of Kevin Bacon, where you can link any actor from any movie to Kevin Bacon in 6 movie moves. Now, we're not in the movies, so we've gone with phone calls. We've done 3 phone calls so far. The first was to our LA-based Scoopla correspondent, Dean McCarthy, who then sent us on a path to Kevin Bacon's management. They were no help whatsoever. That was phone call number 2. Number 3, we rang a cafe just around the corner from where Kevin Bacon, we think, used to live back in 2012 in New York. They said he'd been in, but couldn't give us any details. And at that point, I've kind of given up, Paris. I've handed the ball across to you. We're on to phone call number 4. Who are we calling today?
Yeah, look, I haven't been nominating anyone or giving any phone numbers because I'm nervous. I don't want to burn away one of our precious phone calls.
Yeah.
But I've gone abstract here, all right? I'm delving into the past of Kevin Bacon.
Yes.
I've done some research.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't have any childhood best friends.
Right.
Not that we know of anyway.
Yeah, sure.
However, everybody has been to school.
Correct.
So we're going to give his middle school a call.
Oh, okay. Got the phone number. Let's give it a dial.
Good afternoon, May I come in school?
Yes, hello. My name is Hamish, and I have a friend here with me called Paris. We work for a radio station in Australia, in Queensland, Australia. We were wondering if we could talk to somebody about a few of the famous people that have been to your school. Who would we talk to about that?
Who are the people? I'm just trying to think of who. She's busy, but I'm trying to think of who's here that would have been here when the people were.
We're mainly referring to Kevin Bacon. So from our understanding, no one would be working at the school who was working at that time.
Right.
We'd just like to pretty much confirm that he did attend.
As far as I know,
I'm sure you'd have a Kevin Bacon wing to the school that's named specifically after him. I mean, he's pretty famous.
We don't have a wing named
statue. Kevin. Statue, a Kevin Bacon statue.
No statue of Kevin Bacon either.
Post
Kevin Bacon.
I'm not mistaken. He only came for middle school. Hold on 1 second.
Okay. No hold music. That's strange.
Maybe we're not on hold.
Fair chance.
I'm going to transfer you to the dean's office. Hold on 1 second.
Lovely. Thank you.
You have reached the dean's office for 5th through 8th grade. At the sound of the tone, please leave a message and we'll be happy to get back to you. Thank you.
Okay, so let's... No, we'll hang that up because we don't need to leave a message. What we might do is we'll call the same number again, okay? And we'll just flat out ask the lady that answers whether she can get us in contact with Kevin Bacon. How's that sound?
Yeah.
Okay, so clearly we're not going to get to chat to the dean or anybody higher up at the school.
No.
So whoever answers
that first
this time.
Though, she's a chiller.
All right. We'll give it a go. We'll go again.
Good afternoon, Masterman School.
Yes, hello. It's Hamish Paris here. I don't know if we spoke to you just before.
Yeah, it wasn't me. Nobody answered.
No, but we were trying to track down Kevin Bacon, the actor, anyway, and obviously we know that he went to school there. You don't have any contact details for him by any chance, do you? Just sitting on file there?
No.
Yeah. Do you want to take some time to go and check? Or I don't feel like you went to a filing cabinet or anything like that and then came back and gave us a no.
Yeah, no. I could give you the number to the school district of Philadelphia. After so many years, we do not keep records on file in the actual school. They're kept at the district building. And he's been gone for quite some time.
Yeah, that's right. Fair enough.
He doesn't come back to visit at all?
Not that I know of. I mean, if it hasn't been in recent, I would say not within the past 10, 20 years.
That's why he doesn't have a wing.
That's right. That's right. He doesn't have a statue or anything like that because he does not visit. All right. Well, thank you very much for taking our call.
All right. Okay. Have a good one.
Yeah, you too. Bye.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Okay, that's another call down. That's four down of Paris. We only have two to go.
I was pretty confident about that. And, I'm not calling the school district or whatever.
No, that's too hard. Too hard. Okay, different tact. We've got to put our thinking caps on. Hopefully we will come up with an answer real soon. It's Hit FM. It's an absolute pleasure to have our next guest on the line. I cannot wait for the third episode of this current season of True Stories with Hamish and Andy. It's 8:40 tonight on Channel 9. We have Andy Lee with us. How are you?
Hey, I mean, I'm looking for a new Hamish. Paris, should we have a negotiation for a trade or...
No negotiation.
Mine seems to be overseas a lot.
Just take him.
No, I don't have the same amount of talent as your Hamish, but I'm happy to give it a crack. tonight's episode is going to be an absolute bumper one.
I'm going to say of tonight's episode, it's Sarah's story. Who is from the country, and she wants to meet the Queen. She wants to work for the Queen, so she's working her way up through hospitality. But Ryan's character's trying to sabotage her, so it's a bit of a mystery thriller tonight.
And you've got Ryan Shelton in tonight's ep.
Yeah.
Ryan, I don't know if this is you guys stitching him up or whether he does it for himself, but he's looking just weird again. Is that something that he brings to the party, or do you just stitch him up?
Rye loves it more than anyone, but yes, people don't know Ryan Shelton, a great comic actor, a longtime friend of Hamish and I. He went to school with Hamish, but he's in tonight's episode. His hairstyle is, I think, wins hairstyle of the series. I think he's got it as his profile pic on Instagram if people wanted to check it out. Perfect bowl cut. It was just incredible.
Andy, on the show, you guys obviously do recreate true stories, but I've seen it, and some of the stories are pretty out there. Is there any way that you guys make sure they are in fact true, or does someone just spin a good yarn and you go, all right, let's do this?
Well, it's interesting. I mean, mostly people are nominated by their friends or family members, so it would be quite a deep-threaded lie to get someone else to nominate you so that you can tell that lie. So that's why, we know that most of them are bona fide. But our research team also look up the different friends and family members and get character references and make sure that the story is true, because that's very important to us.
Which is more important to you, a good storyteller or a good story?
Interesting question. It's got to be both, really. I think, to be honest, I think an okay story can survive with an amazing storyteller. But if the story is strong enough, it doesn't really matter how good the storyteller is. And to me, I love the fact that we have people that are very unlikely to be on television telling these stories. You know, for instance, last week, Alan's episode, he never thought he'd be on television. and it took us 4.5 months to find him, because the story came in from someone else who said it happened, but we wanted to find the actual person that was there and did it. And so he's a fisherman, and he was fantastic.
You guys get a ton of cameos on the show as well, a ton of like awesome Australian actors. How do you rope them into acting out these embarrassing situations, making themselves look like freaks a little bit?
I think people just love the idea that they're bringing these everyday people's stories to life. You know, you don't have to be famous to have your own biopic anymore. So there was a sense of warmth to the show, which a lot of the actors were happy to jump on board. But, it's been incredible, particularly for this season, the amount of people that reached out and wanted to be a part of it. John Waters is going to be there. Dave Hughes makes an appearance coming up. Every episode you'll see someone that you recognise.
Is there any chance of getting some extra work on it? Just somebody in the background doing something?
Oh, absolutely. We need all those. And it's $300 a day for an extra, so it's actually good money.
I'm putting my job here.
We're both sending you an email shortly. Andy, thank you very much for your time this morning. True Story with Hamish and Andy back 8:40 tonight on Channel 9. Thanks, mate.
Yeah, enjoy it, guys.
Pilot Week is this week on Wynn Television. Some shows will survive, others won't, but let's hope this guy's does. Harley Breen, thanks for joining us.
No worries at all. Thanks for having me.
Mate, your show starts tonight, Taboo, 9 o'clock. Can you explain what the show's about?
Yes, very simply, I went away on a holiday with four people of very different physical disability. We hung out for a week, and then I had 7 days to write stand-up comedy about them, and then I performed it to them and their friends and family. So an easy gig, as they say, in stand-up comedy.
Why did you put your hand up for that?
Mate, because I couldn't be more excited about the idea. In fact, the only thing I don't like about the idea is it wasn't my idea. It comes out of Belgium.
Look, I would assume it's such a roller coaster of emotions, not just for people watching on, but for yourself as well. I mean, you're spending this time with these people, you're hearing their heart-wrenching stories, and then have to turn that around and try and find a funny aspect to it. Was it really difficult to write comedy about it?
I think the difficulty was actually just the time that we had to get it done in, just the nature of Pilot Week, and we were sort of stuck to a time constraint within the production, and so that was probably my greatest challenge. I didn't find the actual writing of the material and subject matter hard at all, because I've got to know these people. Sam, Jace, Quar, and Dee are the four participants' names, and my career has been based on writing comedy about my life. My poor mum has copped it quite a bit. My partner and my kids. And so that's sort of the normal things I focus on is my life. And that's why this Taboo is such a great and genius idea, is what it became my life.
Harley, I've seen a little sneak peek of the episode of Taboo that's coming out. And it did get me thinking, obviously, you're okay with joking about these things. But in the PC age that we are in, are you sort of worried that it might play to a disadvantage and people will be a bit offended by the comedy possibly?
No, I'm not worried about people's offence, because that's on the person's, that's on the individual. Because my focus was twofold. One was on the participants, on those four people and their stories, and making sure that I did their stories justice. And two, it was on being entertaining. And I can only focus on how I see the entertainment industry and how I do comedy. And I do it fairly specifically. I'm fairly blue, and I sort of go for toilet humour because they're the things I find funny. And it turns out doing poo is a very unifying thing.
Everybody does it. Everybody does it.
Everyone does it. So no, I'm not worried about the outrage. I think that'll come on any topic, on any subject. Somebody will be choose to be offended, and I can't control that.
I know we'll see the answer to this question tonight, but when you performed the comedy, were you performing it to get laughs from the people you were talking about, or the rest of the audience?
Certainly the main focus was the people I was talking about.
Yeah.
For instance, if I do a joke about my mum, which I've done a fair amount of in my career, if I don't think my mum's going to get a laugh out of it, then I won't do it. But obviously there was also another 100 people in the room, and I wanted it to be an entertaining stand-up gig.
And let's be honest as well, we're going into Pilot Week. Either your show's going to make it or it won't. So there is that level of nerves. I mean, it's even on Sportsbet at the moment, how each show will go. Are you feeling confident? Are you backing yourself?
Yes, I'm feeling very confident, and I'm definitely backing myself and the production company. And I hope the TV audience does the same. I think it's worthy of a series, and I think there's some amazing stories to come out ahead if we go ahead.
I think it's going to be a roller coaster of emotions that everybody should watch. Taboo, it's on tonight. Thank you very much for your time this morning.
Good on you guys. Thanks very much.